Hey everybody, good morning. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Before we start reading, let's just pray. Father God, thank you for this day that you have made, Lord. Gather together to seek your face and hear your word, Lord. And as we meditate on your word during this time, Lord, would you help us to really connect and understand as you reveal to us your intention through your word, Lord? And we're very thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. We're going to read from verse 4 to 7. I guess this is 1 Corinthians 13, part 5. So, starting at verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not act disgracefully. It does not seek its own benefit. It is not provoked, does not keep an account of a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It keeps every confidence. It believes all things, hopes all things, endure all things. Right. And again, in this passage, it starts with two of what love is, followed by eight what love is not, and then finishes with four what love is. So there's actually more what love is not than is, and we are on the last is not today, and that one is at verse 6. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. That's the last is not. So it does not rejoice in unrighteousness. On first hand, it seems quite obvious, right? Basically, layman terms, when bad things happen, you shouldn't be happy. Or when something bad happens, right? And again, the reason all these is nots is pointed out is probably in our heart, we do this, right? And maybe you're thinking, oh yeah, like, you know, if someone gets murdered, I'm not happy. But how about the more subtle things, right? What if, I don't know, your colleagues who are your friends with, they get promoted? Oh, I guess that's a good thing. But also, or if someone, well, they're connected, right? Because it's like the opposite. But for the bad things, like what if someone you don't like, something bad happens to them, right? Or I guess in a work setting, your rival, right? What if your rival gets reprimanded or they get fired? Is there a part of you, you celebrate a little? Or maybe it could be even, actually, maybe not, it is your friends, right? Or church brothers and sisters, where sometimes if something bad happens, it makes you feel a little bit better about yourself. So check your heart, okay? And then with this is not, along with it saying, and just so there's a little bit of context. So right now, in Corinth, the issue that Paul is dealing with is there's a culture with idol worship and sexual immorality, right? And so it's kind of like this is happening, and everyone, it's like no big deal, it's all good. Right? Maybe not so uncommon with our current culture as well, where people are sleeping around. And I was shocked where, I mean, there's always been a culture of, you know, male promiscuity is seen as kind of cool and macho, I guess. But I was watching just some YouTube interviews. I don't know, it was random. It's like men first dates, they're interviewing each other. And even for women now, same thing. Like, basically, if you haven't had, and this is a terrible word, but they use the word body count. Like, body count is usually the number of, like, people who died. But they said, oh, if your body count, like, the number of people you've been with is not high, then basically you're not experienced, you're naive. And it was for both men and women. So I think even now, not so different. But how do we handle this, right, when especially as Christians? Well, the second part of this is we don't rejoice in unrighteousness, but instead we rejoice with the truth. That's what we should be doing. We should be rejoicing with the truth. But what is the truth? Is it just whatever you feel like? Right? And before I was a Christian, that was something very important to me, seeking out the truth. And then in some ways, that's how it led me to becoming a Christian. And at some point, before I was a Christian, let me make that clear, this is before I was a Christian, I don't condone this, I was a pothead. And at one point, I was like so for it, like it was natural. You know, it didn't cause people to be violent, it caused people to be more peaceful. You just were hungry. And at one point, my mom had an intervention. She like was like, hey, can I talk to you? And basically, she was like brokenhearted, and she just shared her heart with me and said something to the extent like, oh, can you not do this? And because I felt like I knew the truth, and I needed to enlighten her. So I told her all about the benefits of marijuana and how she should try it before she judges it. In fact, I'll do it with her, right? And at that time, I really thought it was right and true. So, and what was tough in that period of life was truth was very subjective. However, what really led me to Christ, one of the reasons, was truth was objective, right? Truth was defined by the Bible and who God revealed himself to be and what he thought. That totally changed, made things in some ways in my life so much more clear. And so what is the truth? In Psalm 1:1-2, it says, and this kind of encapsulates this, does not rejoice in unrighteousness but rejoices with the truth. It says, blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit at the seat of scoffers, but his delight is the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Right? So it really is the word of God. What's the standard of what's right, what's wrong, what should we be celebrating in when we're talking about truth? It's the word of God. And so what is this application? Well, one, it's in regards to sin, right? We shouldn't cover it up. We shouldn't be celebrating sin, and nor should you pretend it's not there. And this is not easy. It can be very subtle, where some things are very embraced by society and very subtle. I remember before there was Spotify, I was struggling with this with MP3s, right? It's like so subtle, like downloading MP3s. At that time, there's something called Napster. Or I think then it was Kazah, and then there's a bunch. Yeah. And it was so subtle, so easy. Like, what's the big deal? I just search. It was so convenient. But is it okay? I don't know. Maybe that one's not so clear. But how about something like, maybe it's not your sin, or maybe it could be your sin. Let's talk about sex, right? And this was really hard for me, not in terms of what I felt for myself, but my brothers and sisters in Christ, right? What if they're engaging in premarital sex? What if they're living together? And that's not a conversation I think most people enjoy having as a brother or sister to another brother or sister, because it can cause conflict. Maybe you think, oh, like if I say something, they're going to say, who are you to say anything? Who are you to judge? Look at all these other things in your life, right? It's just, it's usually not like this really, like you don't imagine that conversation to be like, thank you. Thank you for letting me know. And as a pastor, I feel an extra responsibility that I have to not just pretend the sin isn't there, and I have to share the truth, right? Of course, keep in mind, it's supposed to be an aspect of love, right? So if you are someone who maybe you're too quick to not be okay with sin, and that's okay, but too quick to speak truth into people's life, then maybe you should take a step back and say, okay, this is supposed to be something not I just am supposed to do, but it's supposed to be done in love. So how can I speak it in such a way, right, that is really going to help? And that's connected to kind of the next one too. Do we have time? Okay. We can do one. So we now get into back to the last four of what love is. And Spurgeon, the late great Spurgeon, he calls these four virtue loves the four sweet companions. Sounds very romantic, right? So just to hype it up, four sweet companions. And the last four is, it keeps every confidence, it believes all things, hopes all things, endure all things. Not in the NASB, but in the other translations, it says it keeps every confidence. It says also it always keeps every confidence. And something to note is in these last four, the word all is used in all of them. I wish Paul didn't use the word all. Instead, he said sometimes, right? But because I think that's where we're good with, where we would sometimes keep every confidence, sometimes believe all things, especially with hope, that we sometimes hope, sometimes endure. But that's not what love is. It's not just, especially this agape love, it is not sometimes, it's always, right? And this is, and just, it just goes to show we cannot implement, I guess, or follow these instructions in our own strength. We would do sometimes, maybe if we're really good, most of the time. And so this is like, if we're operating in our own strength, in order to be always, it really has to be the love of God that overflows in our life. We must have relationship with God. We must be so aware of his presence, receiving. And then maybe we can really go always. Okay, let's just stop here, else it's going to be way over. Sybil, I'd like to invite you up. Lead us. So let's meditate on this last one, which is love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. We don't celebrate sin. If someone, not just for ourselves, but if other people sin, it's not something we celebrate, right? And I think, what does that look like when we celebrate? It's gossip, right? You go to your friends, you go to other people who you think will understand, and you go, hey, that person, did you hear this happened? Or like, oh yeah, that person. We start pointing, criticizing them, tearing them apart. And maybe you think, maybe it's even true. Maybe what you're saying to other people about this person is in fact true. It happened. But it's not loving, because we don't celebrate sin. We don't celebrate people's shortcomings. And so let's go before the Lord. Let's repent if that's the case. And let's turn to the truth. Let's turn to the Lord. Let's turn to His Word. And just let God minister to you instead of celebrating sin, celebrating people's mishaps. What should we be doing? How should we be loving?
So kind to me.
Yes, Lord, when we look to you and we look to how you demonstrated your love towards us, Lord, it is overwhelming. It's in some ways, if we're to do the same, it's impossible. But yet, it's so inspiring, Lord, what you did on the cross, what you endured for us, Lord, that we will try, we want to respond in the same way by loving others just as in the same fashion, in the same way that you loved us, Lord. And so, Lord, we know we can't do it in the same fashion in our own strength. We can do it in spurts, but to really be able to demonstrate it, we need your help. So, Holy Spirit, would you give us even the willpower, the ability to love like you did. And we would be so filled by your presence, Lord. Even right now, would you fill us that we would be so touched by your love, Lord, that we would receive not just the love you had done, but even right now, the love you have present for us, God, so that we can overflow and walk in that same love today. In Jesus' name. Let's turn to our screens. Let's cover our community, those who are suffering from cancer. Let's pray for God's healing, his encouragement, his word, that on the list people would be so in tune and aware of the presence of God. Pray for those who are sick, illness, but are also in their need of word of salvation. Let's pray for God's revelation into these friends and family members' lives. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray for full recovery. and healing. Let's also pray for those on the COVID list, Mary, Janet, and Isaiah. That's Isaiah is Pastor Navarro's son. So please pray for them and protection. Let's also pray for the frontline medical workers as well. Also pray for those on the jobs list. Let's pray for Sterling, also Ian. Let's pray for God to lead them, open doors, opportunities, and favor. Pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government, wealth gap, revival, churches, sports services, Shanti, YWAM, Ga Catering, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, families in distress. Let's pray for our city. Pray for the staff, P. Sam, P. Nate, P. Salma, P. Ken, P. Samuel, P. Ernie, Tim, Lisa, Mon, Rachel, Cadence, K. Caleb, Donald, Trish, Grace, Rachel Chow, Wesley, Ben. You can pray for the staff. You can pray for, I mean, PCM is on sabbatical. Pastor Navarro is in quarantine. So if you could pray for our staff, pray for unity, pray for vision, anointing. Thank you. Let's also pray for the hospitality ministries, the welcoming team, and barista, as well as logistics. Pray for the worship and sound led by P. Nate and Wes, and also AV team led by myself and Rachel Chow. Let's also pray for the pregnancies at SP. Let's pray for Fiona, Leslie, Dion, Hina, and others. Let's pray for protection and strength and being able to sleep and rest well. Finally, let's pray for our Tuesday evening gatherings. Let's pray for the discipleship course, Helping Without Hurting, that's meeting. Father God, we just give thanks for today and also your word in your heart for us, not just to receive your love, but also to walk in your love so others could experience the same, Lord. And just help us to keep our eyes and ears open, and our hearts would be ready to also demonstrate that love when opportunities arise, Lord. That we would be aware that there is an opportunity and we would take that step of obedience to love others just as you loved us, Lord. And so just be with us today, and we'd be so aware of what you're doing in the midst of our circumstance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everyone. Thanks for joining us today.